Hey everybody, Shane Presley, your Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you so much for checking out another brand new episode. Today's features Janitrix. Had a great time hanging with these rockers, talking about their brand new EP and all the stories behind these songs and a whole lot more. You can stream their EP, No Smoking in Bed, now on your favorite platform. And catch them at a live show here soon. Follow along on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. As always, I do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Friendship Brewing Company in Wentzville, Missouri. Serving up all your craft beer needs. Over 25 rotating taps. So they got all kinds of tasty beverages. They got a lot of delicious food. They got your burgers, nachos, flatbread, pizzas, and pretzels, salads, and all kinds of tasty eats out there. Along with Fish Fry Fridays happening all Fridays throughout Lent. So come out and get some fish. And live music happening every weekend. On Thursdays, they kick off the weekend with Singo Bingo Night. So come on out Thursday, March 14th for Singo Bingo. Friday, March 15th. You got Steve Kyle out there, and on Saturday, March 16th, Buddy Entwistle, and come on out and celebrate St. Patrick's Day on Sunday, March 17th, out at Friendship Brewing Company. You've heard me talk all about it, but over the summer, they launched a second location in Flint Hill, Missouri, calling it Fly High location, and same great beer but all new dining experience out of the Fly High kitchen. And you can catch Josh Littig out there on Friday, March 15th, and Michael Marciano on Saturday, March 16th. Full concert calendar, beer menu, food menu, and much more at friendshipbrewingcompany.com. Be sure to plug in with them on Facebook and Instagram for more. And come on out and see what is going on. They got all kinds of good times happening out at Friendship Brewing Company. All kinds of great events, including on St. Patrick's morning. They got yoga and mimosas happening out at the Fly High location. And a lot of great events coming up throughout the summer. So get plugged in on the calendar and see what's happening. And tell them Shane sent you. FriendshipBrewingCompany.com. If you need anything from me, you can always find me at RockPaperPodcast.com. Hit me up on the socials. Email me, RockPaperPodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. And with that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with Janitrix.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio, it's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We're Janitrix, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guest that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double-decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Janitrix. Yeah. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
This is very cool. I'm excited to be here in Festus, Missouri, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And live on location. Took a little road trip. It's about an hour for me to come out this way, but I like this. I like kind of getting here where
band practice, kind of vibe, you know, getting to hang out with you guys at your place and see what it's all about. I feel like it's, you know, one less icebreaker kind of thing to get through. You know, you guys were somewhere you guys are already comfortable at and stuff. So, but yeah, man, we're already having a lot of fun, and I'm excited to get to talking about your debut EP and everything else we got going on. But I guess before we get going too far, let's go around the mics and everybody introduce themselves for those listening.
I'm Travis Kennedy. I'm the fourth and newest member of the band, playing guitar.
I'm Garrett. I play drums and sing for Janitrix.
I'm Jay. I play bass.
I'm Zach. I also sing and play guitar.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is cool because we got a couple first timers and we got a couple returning guests. So it's always I was looking forward to coming down here and, like I said, catching up. And I guess take me back to the early days of this. I know this project's been going for a little while now, and I know you guys, I'm sure, all have long history before this project even, but how does the idea start to even form Janitrix?
Well, let's see. I believe I was on a show with you with my older band, Sunset Over Homa.
Right.
And I was with them for a while and then kind of split off from them and still wanted to make music, you know? So just started playing my guitar and my bass a bunch and then hit Garrett Hogan up and we started jamming. Actually, me and Garrett have known each other since grade school, I think like fourth grade. And then we actually started playing music together for the first time in high school. So nice. We've been kind of working with each other since then.
Yeah.
On and off.
I came in later after a couple basses didn't work out for him. About, 3 years ago?
3 years.
Yeah, three years ago. And we've been trying to play pretty steady once a week since then, you know, with obvious breaks.
Yeah.
I left Morning Mountain probably about a year before I joined these guys. And then in like fall of 22, I just made a Facebook post saying I was ready to get back on the...
You're a free agent?
Yeah, free agent, ready to play some music again. And Zach hit me up and pretty much the rest was history.
Yeah, man. Well, how long did we say... at least 3 years, the Janitrix has been a thing now.
Yeah, I'd say roughly three years, yeah. Probably three and a half.
Pre-COVID, like 2019. Yeah. Like summer of 2019. Yeah. And then, yeah, we were jamming and then, 2020 hit and then that kind of put a halt to things for a little bit.
Right. It was kind of nice though. We just got to really focus on like practicing and making new songs and really firming up, what we had already.
Yeah. And Zach, was this like your first time like being out front, being the front man of the band, or?
Yeah, I guess so. In Sunset, I had also sang and, you know, playing a stringed instrument. And then I was in King James and the Killer Bee before that.
Yeah.
And I also had like a very prominent vocal role there. So I've always been kind of singing. This is actually the band that I've sung the least.
Oh, yeah.
Just really got to focus on more playing guitar,
right,
which is cool. I actually enjoy that a lot. But I'm trying to get more back into singing and playing, like playing keys like I used to, and singing for whatever reason is so much easier than playing a guitar. And I don't know why. I don't know why it's so much easier to sing and play a piano, but I'm trying to get there with a guitar. It's just not totally there yet, but
right.
I'm still having fun. Yeah. I think we sound awesome the way we are.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's getting to the EP, like, I really didn't know, I haven't got to see you guys live yet, so, like, I didn't really know fully what to expect, but it was cool to hear multiple vocals coming through, you know, offering a lot of variety in the sound, even though it's all, I feel like, under the umbrella of rock and roll, but, you know, I got a lot of different flavors mixed in there, so.
Yeah, man.
So that was cool. Like I said, you were mentioning like you're probably singing the least in this band, but having you guys all kind of do parts, vocal parts and stuff. So, So yeah. But so we got this EP. You guys just had a big release party on February 9th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Over at Sinkhole, man.
Sinkhole.
Where it all started.
Yep. That's the first show we played together.
Yeah.
I think, well, yeah, as a full, was your first show with us at a Sinkhole, or is that actually?
My first show was at Red Flag, but I was at that first show at the Sink, because didn't you guys play with Prunes?
Yeah, we played with Prunes and Pono, right?
So I just happened to be at that first show, but not in the band, and then my first show was like a year later with...
So wait, was your first show?
No, my first show with you guys was at Red Flag.
Oh.
That big...
that's right.
Yeah.
Like
eight what a different show. Genre.
Yeah. What a show that was.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was all right. Yeah. It was no 21 Rock.
First time playing in the basement of a Save-A-Lot.
Yeah. What was that? Probably seven bands booked on that show, and I think we showed up, and then the touring act, and then the other five bands just didn't show up.
Yeah, there was a problem there where we figured nobody was going to show up, so I started drinking a little bit heavier, and then they showed up. Oh no.
We saw a dude blow chunks on a poker machine walking out of the bathroom.
It was a sight to behold. It's a bar you could still smoke in, music venue.
Music venue that doesn't play music whenever there's not a band on stage, so like we had to remind the audience as we were getting off, like, remember, this will be our last song. And if you guys want to hear music after we're done playing, get your Touch Tunes out. Because they will not get on the PA and play music. We will just be breaking our equipment down in silence. It's quite a venue.
Yeah.
Class act venue.
Yeah.
And this is the plug for that. So.
Play 21 Rock.
Definitely made for some experience.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about this EP. We got, like I said, right now readily available on all your favorite streaming platforms, and we're going to give you a little sneak peek at it. If you haven't got a chance to listen yet, I thought this might be fun to kind of go through it track by track and talk about some of these songs and how they came about and stuff. But let's start with number one, and that's Sunflower Girl. What do you guys want to tell me about Sunflower Girl?
That'd be all Zach there.
I guess it would be all me. Sunflower Girl is like the main riff for that song I've actually been toying with since I was in King James and the Killer Bee. And that and I guess a couple others, but the others aren't on the CP. Just rock and roll riffs, man. And for those projects, they just didn't fit the project. So finally, whenever I was able to do what I wanted to do, you know, that's one of the first ones that came about. I drew inspiration just from mostly having a crush on some girl, you know, and turned it into a whole song. And that's like one of the first ones I brought to Garrett.
That was the first one I learned.
Was it the first one you learned?
Oh, yeah.
Under your spell,
this was a lot of fun. I think I probably listened to it like at least three times on the way down today. It was made for a nice drive down 55, cranking it up loud. And this one was definitely, the whole EP, like I said, is a lot of fun to, especially driving, highway driving to, having some of these rock and roll riffs, like I said.
Thanks, man. Yeah, the way I ordered them for the EP, I was like, man, what would sound good like as a set list? How would we build on a set? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how I threw them in order.
Yeah.
But
is this where now? What about recording wise? You guys, is this a lot of like in-house?
All in-house.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You guys. Do you guys? Is that something you guys like to do? I mean, or like do for others, or just like something you kind of forced to learn to accommodate?
I've always liked to I grew up loving electronic music, so right. I was always trying to dabble in that and learn how to do that. So I took whatever knowledge I had from that and just kind of applied it to live instruments and just kind of worked on it until we all thought it was good. You know,
it definitely freed us up to not have to be on a time crunch for. Yeah. Spending,
I'd say that's probably the best part. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're not on somebody else's dime, you know.
You don't have to worry about spending $200 an hour on, you know, in a studio, and we still get pretty good quality out of it all. And
yeah,
we were able to stretch out the recording process for like 2 months.
Yeah, it's just however many takes you need. It really gives you a whole lot of freedom to try new things, sure. Mess some things up, and you know, just kind of see how it really sounds.
Yeah, and now that this is out, you know, and streaming wherever, like it's even during the whole recording process and like mixing and getting it out there and stuff, like taking away what we've learned and done from that, I definitely just want to build on it and just continue to get bigger, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean there's room for it all obviously, but I like having this type of sound, like this, like, you know, it definitely feels like home recordings, lo-fi, gritty, you know, it's like, and just that's, so it's fun to, I've mentioned in the past, but like friends have gave me like, their, you know, self-produced demo kind of stuff. And before they've gone to record in a studio. And like, sometimes I prefer the demo thing because there's something just real and raw that's captured on that. And, you know, you fall in love with these recordings as is before they, you know, it gets all polished up and stuff. I mean, like something gets lost in translation for some reason. And, mm-hmm. and, so like listening to this, like took me back to like, this is just, you know, classic garage rock type of sound, like, and on these recordings. So it was a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah. Thanks, we kind of took the approach of like, you know, three is a crowd. As far as just adding somebody else into the mix to try to do what we wanted to make it sound like. We already know what it wanted to sound like. So it was easier for us to work on it than hand it off to somebody else, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there's like sometimes some of that stuff can be good. Like, you know, I think it depends on your dynamic of as a group and stuff. But sometimes some people need that. You know, somebody to kick them in the ass to get the, you know, to get having that producer or an engineer to help them like push, like to get the right take, get the better take out of it, or, you know, whatever it is. And so it just, but and sometimes
having like, an outside ear, I think, is always a good idea.
Sure.
Like, even before we released it, I was like, once I was finished with something, I'd send it to a handful of friends and be like, what do you take away from this? What can make it better? You know?
Yeah.
So. I just kind of took notes the whole time.
Having the friends that went to, you know, to school for it really helps.
Yeah,
it
helps too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Bad Dog. This is a Turner Upper. This is was a lot of fun to jam to on the way over, like I said. So.
Taxi riding at the
What comes to mind around Bad Dog?
Bad Dog? Oh, man, that whole song's about chasing tail. You know, right? And it's just it's a story about a man out on the town trying to, like I said, just chasing some tail. There was really no more of a story than that. Right. I thought it was a really cool, solid riff to start off with, and it just kind of evolved. And again, I think that's one of the other first ones I brought to Garrett. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
So, you know, why not go with one of the first ones you do to put on one of the first things you release? You
yeah. Know? And you're writing all the lyrics? Or
For what's on the EP? For those two, for sure. Yeah. Garrett wrote all the lyrics to Mistress, and then we did like a 50-50 for Death Sticks, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Like, it's just a good drivey, you know, riff. So,
one of my favorites to play.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I can't wait to start recording other things. You know? But yeah, man, it's just, I like, when it comes to songs, for me personally, I think my personal thing is it's always got to have some kind of groove or just some kind of drive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this does a good job of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, now when you guys like are forming Janitrix, like, did you have like ideas of like what you were going for, like as far as sound? What did you ever say I wanted to kind of like this particular style of rock and roll, or was it just like what naturally came out of this project was these songs and stuff? Like,
I think with what I brought to Garrett originally, I had more of like I just want to be like a straight up rock and roll, like straight up old school rock and roll kind of thing. And the more we jammed together, the more it evolved. So, or at least that's my takeaway from it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think we really, even now, like, I think we kind of let the songs do what they want. Like, we just kind of we kind of let the song do it, and we just kind of work, you know, we see what works and what doesn't work and just kind of hash ideas out, you know, back and forth. And eventually we come up with something, but you know, I mean, if that makes any sense.
All right. Yeah. And like originally we were going to have, just a singer. But then, you know, Garrett gave the idea of, you know, singing while playing drums. We're like, well, I mean, well, let's give that a go.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's something great. You don't see it all the time. And
your voice is so powerful. Like, yeah, dude. Like I said, when I was recording my parts, I was just, I almost didn't want to.
it was really cool to see that flourish and, you know, become something that you don't really see very often anymore.
Sure. Yeah. I think before we hit record, I mean, obviously, one of the greats comes to mind is Phil Collins. We mentioned off mic, but, you know, like there is, and Levon Helm obviously is another classic example of a drummer singer, but yeah, it's not a whole lot of them out there really doing it. But and there's a group I speaking in rock and roll stuff is Blackstone Cherry.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And their drummer sings, and he's got like the overhead mic and and just and he's a madman too. And it's a lot of, I don't know how he manages to keep the energy up to play the drums like he does and sing. So
that's what blew my mind the first time listening to Garrett do it. I was just like, how?
Yeah.
How?
Right. But all four limbs are going and your
brain's ticking on time.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea how that works, but yeah, it's impressive. So kudos to you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what was the discussion to bring in an extra guitar, Ed and Travis? Was there just that it felt like these songs needed
Well, originally, I think the idea was that we were just going to have him play guitar. And then, like Jay said, we were just thinking about doing just one person on the vocals, and I was going to do that. And then we got to jamming with him, with us, and that's whenever Garrett was like, well, what if I sang? So then he was taking on all the vocals for a while, and then we changed that into both of us doing it. That way it gives him a break when he needs it, you know, not when he needs it, but it'll give him a little bit of a break. Right. but yeah, and I've been able to keep up with it. So we just kept going with it. we all think it sounds good as a unit.
So yeah.
I think that's all that really matters.
Sure.
From the first time I heard them, I thought they sounded fine. They didn't necessarily need a second guitarist, but there was pretty much every song that they played on those first practices. I was like, well, here's some, like, all of my parts came to me really quickly because I was like, well, this, I was never just playing what Zach would show me how his guitar part went, and then I would figure out what my part was going to do around it rather than just duplicating his part, which I do see a lot of happen a lot, sometimes in St. Louis. And I was like, well, I don't want to be playing the same thing up that he's doing just 12 frets higher the whole time.
I would definitely say you've added, I mean, through effects and through a lot of the other nuances that you do, you've added a whole lot of body to the whole group.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I
think so too. Like, well, that one practice we had when you weren't here very recently, like, all of us were like, it's so empty. What happened?
I can totally notice that.
I use something to try to add more effects to it. Like, they were mostly rock, you know, distortion and fuzz. And then whenever I came in, I was like, well, I'll bring in some tremolo, some delay, just make it kind of the edge.
Yeah.
That's who I base my whole career off of. U2's The Edge.
Let's talk about track 3. This is Death Sticks and Road Sodies.
Probably my favorite one on No Smoking in Bed.
Yeah.
So the whole Death Six thing is a Star Wars reference. And I always heard beers growing up being called road sodies, not only by my adult, you know, family or peers or whatever, but like he would call them road sodies. Sure. Or his dad would call them road sodies, you know?
Yeah.
So we just kind of went with that as like a, or that's what I went with as a title. And then I was like, well, what can we make this song about? And I was like, what's just as rock and roll as cigarettes and beer? Oh, cars. So let's put those three things together and make a song about it.
Yeah. I don't know, something about this one. I also like, I liked, you guys alternate vocals on this one, right? Yeah, so nice. Like, it's fun to hear kind of like almost, I don't know, something in my mind triggered like an old Kiss song or something, like yeah. Kind of that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Like Kiss is awesome.
Like a long, like, especially the way they, you know, Gene would chime in with vocals on and yeah. stuff. And so.
Yeah, which I was gonna say, I've kind of had that because originally I was singing the vocals. Like, if you go on to like the old tracks on like Bandcamp, like I'm singing on that one. But then when we were trying to figure out how to work the vocals and stuff, we were kind of figuring out how we wanted to sing it. And the band that came to mind for me was ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah,
is how Billy Gibbons and Dusty. Yeah. They would swap off, especially like if you listen to Heard It on the X, like they'll swap the vocals on that one. Yeah. So that's what kind of brought me the idea, and I, you know, presented it to Zach. He's like, yeah, man, that'd be dope as hell. Yeah. So tried it out and it stuck.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shout out to ZZ Top. I love that. That's oh, yeah. That was a big part of my youth there growing up, man, listening to those records. And R.I.P. Dusty Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, legend. Man, I got to see ZZ Top once at, Family Arena. They came to town. It was like a real, like, kind of, low budget tour. You know, like typically they were pretty flashy. And, you know, as far as their live production and everything. And this one was just like really like just like some kind of like sparkly backdrop. And like, and they just, there was like zero stage production. It was just amps plugged in. And like they, you know, and they do what they do. They had the fuzzy guitars. They did do the spins. And like, ooh. So they got those kind of things that you would expect from ZZ Top. But, you know, I was like, I've heard stories about years before, like they did the Recycler tour and they had like a functioning like car crane, like moving cars back and forth on those and you know, stuff like that. So I was like, when I went, I was kind of expecting some more, you know, spectacle of a show, and it was really kind of dialed down, but still sounded great. But I laughed. There was a just classic Billy Gibbons, like just everything sounds way cooler through his voice, no matter what he's telling, what they're saying. Yeah. Like, and he was I guess they had an off day before the show or something like that, so he's like talking about going to the zoo, and we went down to the zoo, they got this baby, or they got this mama anteater and they got this daddy anteater, and he's like, and now they got the baby in it. And it was like, and I was like, this is the coolest story about an annie. I don't know. Just like, it was something so simple. But anyway, just get Billy telling that story just made me crack up, though.
I just saw the Eagles last Tuesday. And Joe Walsh's voice is just like one of the most cartoony.
Yeah.
Like, even whenever, like, it's the same as when he talks as when he sings, and he's like, he just looks like he's 80 years old now and just kind of, he sounds like the greased up deaf guy off of Family Guy now. He's just like, how y'all doing, St. Louis? Yeah. Like, life's been good so far. Yeah. Sounds the exact same. My mom's
running. A pretty good time over there.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was probably the youngest one in the building at 34. Everybody else was like at least twice that.
All right. I got to thinking, I mean, I'm obviously on the topic of rock and roll shows. What's one that you guys feel you missed out on? Like, is there a group that you may have missed, or at least maybe in the prime that you would like to have seen?
There's a band called The Deer in the Headlights, and they were only around for 2 or 3 years, and I'd say all of them are some of the best musicians I'd ever listened to, and they basically came out on Twitter one day and said, we are not making enough money doing music, so we're all just going back to our careers.
Damn.
And they had just came to the Firebird like a month before that, and I chose to work instead of going to see them that night. But those guys are badass. They have like one song on Guitar Hero 3 or something.
That's a bummer.
I thought I missed Mars Volta because they hadn't played a show in like 10 years. Yeah. So I figured they weren't going to get back together. I was pretty bummed about that, but then I got to see them last year.
Yeah.
And what a show.
That was the Factory?
Yeah, they played the Factory in St. Charles, and it was their 20-year anniversary of Deloused in the Comatorium, my favorite album. And they played it in its entirety. It was the best show, and I thought that I had completely missed the boat. And I was pleasantly surprised and was happy to pay whatever price they were putting those tickets up for.
Yeah. It's kind of wild to think about this year, Green Day's touring, playing 20th anniversary of Dookie and 10th anniversary of thirty years of Dookie, 20 years of American Idiot. That's what it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dates us pretty well.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But I just, it's kind of crazy. They're both on those anniversaries, and so they're, I think they're playing, that's going to be like their entire set is playing those two albums in entirety. So it's going to be a pretty cool show, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I thought I missed the boat on Cake, and then I saw that they had two shows coming up in Kansas, and I didn't even think they're I guess they're not touring, but I didn't think they were even playing anymore. I would love to see Cake.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I would have loved to have seen Jimi Hendrix, but way late.
Right.
I never got to see Velvet Revolver. I would have loved to see that as a group.
Sure.
The Dead Weather, or not the Dead Weather, them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, that
would be. Is another super group that I thought, still think would be amazing to see. But
man, I'd love to
see. I doubt it.
Yeah. I'd love to see the original Grand Funk Railroad get together. Yeah. Like the original three guys get back together.
Hell yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. What, on the topic of concerts, what's your very first concert memory?
My very first concert memory was Dragon Force. It was Dragon Force, All That Remains, and Horse the Band.
Wow.
Was my very first concert.
Speaking That's of Guitar Hero, man.
I know, right? Yeah,
it's the tour.
Yeah, what an experience. The first thing I see is Herman Lee being Herman Lee. Like, wow. And then my second concert was Megadeth.
Nice.
Which was equally awesome.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you had better.
They're one of my favorite bands of all time.
I think my first concert memory is my dad taking me to Riverport to see, I think, Toby Keith.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Toby Keith.
Pretty wild. Yeah. I barely remember it, but yeah, that's the first time I remember sitting there in the seats being like, this is incredibly loud. My dad putting his hands over my ears. And
as he's singing, Should Have Been a Cowboy.
More than likely. It was such a fleeting memory. Like, I just remember sitting there in Riverport, just looking at the stage like, I don't even know what this is, man. Like, what's going on here?
I was 10, and my cousins and aunt and my mom all went to Riverport for Z1077 Summer Jam because I really wanted to see the band Vertical Horizon. They sing She's Everything You Want. And then after they were done, I was like, well, I'm ready to go home. And my cousins are like, well, Destiny's Child hasn't played yet, and I threw a big fit and said, "Oh, I don't really like their music. And who's gonna? They're not gonna be anything in 10 years from now." Never, surely, seeing Beyonce at 10 years old won't matter to me 20 years later.
Yeah, I wonder, boy, were you wrong?
Yeah, I placed all my bets on Vertical Horizon. Sorely mistaken. Said no one ever.
Yeah, whatever happened to her?
Yeah. Well, she's never won Artist of the Year.
All right. Yeah.
Some people have take up real issue with that.
Right.
It's the price you pay.
I do think, was Sugar Ray at that one also, or was that a different one?
I think the big ones on that were like, I have the t-shirt somewhere.
Because I have a distinct memory of going to one of those summer Z107 shows, was, and Sugar Ray was there. And I remember being in the lawn, and there was this guy behind me smoking a joint, and he was you know, holding his arms out, and he's like, "I want to fly," or something like, he just like kept, like singing terribly, but like kept, was like, I guess Fly was, must have been obviously the big hit the summer then, so like 97 or 98 or whatever. So anyway, I just like remember thinking that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like,
dude, there's a show with God, what's Dennis from It's Always Sunny's name? Glenn Howerton, AP Bio, where he's a high school teacher, and the kids find out in his class that he used to be a nerd like they are through the his yearbook from his graduating class, and they're like, "Mr. T, we found your senior quote, and it said, 'All around the world, statues crumble for me.' And we thought it was maybe Napoleon or Alexander the Great. But we looked it up, and it was Sugar Ray. And they're not good, Mr. T." So he was the 90s. It was a different time.
Oh, man.
You kids
to
judge.
Oh, man. Anytime I think of that song, I just remember that song being on a lot. My sister used to work at an Emo's, and anytime I would walk in there, there was a picture, like right when you walked in, on the wall, of some dude parachuting with an Emo's pizza. So anytime I hear that song, that's immediately the first image I think of.
I think of the Scooby-Doo movie. Isn't it Sugar Ray that's playing? Yeah. Sugar Ray playing there. And I mean, up until I think like maybe like last year, I was like, "Who is that?" And my girlfriend was like, "That's Sugar Ray." I was like, "No shit." I've been watching this movie for 15 years. Yeah. Didn't know that.
How about you, Garrett? What's your first concert memory?
First concert memory? Oh, man. Yeah. I actually got to go to Point Fest. It was actually my first real concert experience. I was 16, and one of my buddies ended up, he didn't want to go or something, and he ended up giving me the ticket. And it was like the day after my birthday. I had just turned 16. I went with my friends to go to Point Fest, and it was, who was it? Seether, Breaking Benjamin, and 3 Days Grace.
Ooh, that's what a lineup.
Yeah. I mean, that's about every year, I think, almost. Like.
Yeah, yeah. Point, yeah. But, no, I just remember.
From like 04 to 08.
I remember there was this band there. The one thing that struck me was there was this band there. I think they're from Kansas City. They were playing on the pop stage, and they were called the Leo Project, and those dudes blew me away. The drummer was so damn good, and like, yeah, it was pretty inspiring. I was like, holy shit, like, you know, these dudes are local. I was like, damn, you can do this? Like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep, that's most of my Point Fest memories. I've always had a lot of fun on the side stage at the pop stage with my friends, and, you know, and I have a lot more tend to have a lot more fun over there when like they, people are, you know, the crowds are interactive and like everybody's out there supporting their friends. And it's just like, you get so amped up that your friends are playing on the same lineup as you know, whatever, see their 3 Days Grace and Breaking Benjamin and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. My buddy, Ryan Chaney.
Oh yeah. Ryan's a good dude.
Yeah. He shared a story with me. He was playing Point Fest with a Fivefold and told me he smoked his first cigar with Surge.
Nice.
Before they went on. Yeah. And I was like, man, that has to be the coolest story.
Yeah.
I've ever heard. Shared his first cigar with Serge.
It's probably 2014 and we went to one and we just wanted to get our spots for OK Go. So we were standing at the stage an hour before they went on. And then we had no clue who Royal Blood was, but they came out before them and blew us away. Just like we had no clue that it was going to be a two piece, just a bassist and a drummer. And yeah, we were very happy that we had waited to see the other, like, never heard of them before that day, and they've been one of my favorite bands since.
Mm-hmm. I kind of had a similar thing with Nothing More. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I saw them, and like, they were a three piece, but like, you know, it was very loud and entertaining, and like, the bassist like had this like contraption. Like he mounted his bass on this stand and like it had some kind of like, they would like slap the side and it would swivel and then they'd catch it. And then like, and all three band members were playing the bass at the same time. And like the drummer brought his sticks and he's like playing, you know, hitting the sticks on the strings. And like, I don't know. It's,
that sounds nuts.
It's one of the craziest like live spectacle things I've ever seen on a show. And it was really cool, especially the first time you saw, like, I've never seen somebody do that. So like it's memorable. But yeah, that, you know, and they've gone on to same kind of thing. Like, and had no idea who they were when they came on, and then like, you know, afterwards, they've years later now they've gone on to Grace Success. And so but yeah, anyway, man, it's just my first one. I've talked about a bunch, but my first one, I remember asking my mom to take me to see Matchbox 20 in 97 when they were like number one everywhere and stuff. But that was like me and my buddy Chuck went, and I think mom stayed outside smoking cigarettes the whole time. had no interest in that. But that was my first memory of the Enterprise Center or Kiel or whatever. But yeah, man. Well, we got one more to round out this EP. Track 4 is titled Mistress.
We'll be right back.
You said this is one you guys co-wrote together, right?
Yeah, this one, more or less. Yeah, the riff came off an idea actually from I don't even remember the name of the song anymore, but some pop song that I had heard on 88.1, and then just kind of like that, the tune of that stuck in my head, and I just kind of like morphed everything around that, and then turned it into what it is, which is obviously not a pop song. You know,
we played pretty low for most of that.
Yeah.
That was the first one. Whenever I joined them, they were finishing that song up, so I didn't have, like, they hadn't finalized it, and that was the first song where I was like, well, I can come up with a part before the, like, all the other songs whenever I joined, they pretty much had done, and I was just adding parts to, but that was, like, dude, the first one where I was, like, writing with them.
Mm-hmm. You really carried that intro with me. It was pretty dry with just the bass initially. Yeah. But,
Well, No Smoking in Bed. Now, like I said, available everywhere you get your digital music. You can follow along with Janitrix on your Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And, hopefully, this is just the start, and we'll get, like you guys said, you're already amped up and ready to go for some, recording some new tunes and stuff. Yeah, so, man.
Hopefully we'll put out a full length here in not too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put a timestamp on that.
All right. No timestamp.
Yeah. But that's probably, we'll probably release a single in between, or, you know, we'll release more between then and now and then is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But
you got, like I said, I mean, obviously this just came out, so it's, you know, very, new. So we, but is there something more you guys want to do with this collection of songs? Like, are you doing, any music videos or any kind of, is there anything like that you guys think about, or?
We've entertained the thought of it. We have a few friends that do like cinematography and stuff like that. But I mean, there's definitely nothing that we have in the works as of right now, I don't believe. So,
yeah. What about, obviously you guys play here quite a bit. Is there any, you guys want to do more out of town stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, that's something that I want to put on the itinerary for sure.
Yeah. So it's hard with the day jobs, you know?
Yeah.
All of us are pretty much 9 to 5s or.
Yeah.
Me, I'm usually later in the evening.
So you're the only one that's not a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Maybe I should think about it.
Yeah.
But we've got friends that have offered us shows in, you know, Nashville and
Tennessee. Oh yeah, Tennessee and Arkansas.
And Illinois and
Kansas.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to make a little Midwest circuit, you know.
For sure.
It's not too difficult to do, you know, we can knock that out and a long weekend.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I think, I don't know. I just talk a lot about it on this show. Obviously, everybody's kind of in a similar boat, wanting to get out there and hit the road and see what else, you know, make some new fans in some different markets. And, but I just feel like, that's the, you know, gotta be one of the coolest things, like just to get in the van with the buddies and, you know, meeting new people and, especially people that dig what you're doing and get to shake some hands and, you know, sell some CDs or whatever and what it, you know, but, you know, and then hopefully the next time you go back, they bring a couple more friends with them and keep growing.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we can make that happen this year. I think that'd be fun.
Oh yeah. For sure, man. As soon as the pandemic kind of released its grip on, local music, I don't know. I feel like everyone's been pretty shy about trying to get back out and stuff. Just kind of slow goings. But no, that's definitely on the horizons for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Survive enough Taco Bell for a weekend and kind of thing.
Listen, I could eat it every day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have this new flatbread thing?
We're plugging Taco Bell. Yeah. All right.
Shout out.
I do.
Two cheesy roll ups, add beef every time.
Fiesta Veggie grilled.
Yeah, what's your guys' Taco Bell?
I get two Fiesta veggies grilled and then a chicken chipotle griller. done. Out the door. Yeah. $6.
See, I always get two chicken chipotles, and that's mine. That's usually my go-to. Just two of those.
You gotta get those veggies,
Taco
dude.
Bell's pretty inflation-proof. I feel like I've been paying the same price since high school.
It got me through it.
There's a, there's a great...
yeah.
There's a great joke from Nick Thune. I don't know if you ever check him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's it's not true anymore, but when he recorded it, he was saying that the Arby's 5 for $5 deal. He's like, when I was in high school, Arby's had the 5 for $5 deal. When I was in college, Arby's had the 5 for $5 deal. He's like, last week, Arby's had the 5, you know. I was like, how is inflation never hit Arby's? And,
yeah,
and but that
beef's just been sitting there. They've been sitting on stock.
Right, yeah. But now it's like, I don't know, Arby's is kind of expensive now. Like when you go, it's not the same, but...
I get breakfast at McDonald's for two people, 20 bones.
Yeah.
Shit's out of control, man.
But I do like that Taco Bell has like embraced that. The now that they have like commercials with like musicians, like... touring musicians that are saying like they live off of Taco Bell for touring wise and stuff. And
they actually, I think they have a program that they do for touring musicians where you can apply and then they'll give you like a gift card for touring musicians. And that's something super cool that I think that they do.
And you've never brought this up.
Yeah.
Well, I know. I applied for
that's
it.
That's a reason to start a band.
I applied for it, pal. Oh, yeah. Well, they never hit me back up. We didn't
they
have
never
anything.
Returned my call.
They never hit me back up, dude. I called HQ. I called the Taco Bell.
It's me, Jay.
It's me, Jay. You know, I sent you that email a couple months ago. I never got back to me, man.
Let me holler at that little talking chihuahua.
All right.
Yokira.
Taquero Taco Bell. Yokira
Taco Bell.
Where's he been at?
Oh.
He left with the early 2000s Godzilla.
Yeah. That's the last thing. You're going to
need a bigger
box.
Dollar menu.
Yeah, that was a value menu. Right there.
Yeah.
Every company got rid of that real quick. No more dollar menus. It's a value menu.
Yeah.
We can go up to $3 on it.
Yeah. All right. I got some questions I like asking and get your guys' take on some of these. All right. What would be like a dream duet or collaboration for the band?
Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
That would be a dream. That'd be a dream come true.
Yeah, I feel like, I know for me specifically, the type of music that we play, they've been a pretty big inspiration. Just in the cadence and things like that. That would be incredible.
Yeah, man.
What do you think, Garrett? Man, I'll say clavering. Oh. Collaborating with like Neil Fallon,
yeah,
Clutch. Or
oh yeah, like dude. And, Clutch yeah. would be nice. That's Hell another. Yeah. That's another big one for me.
Yeah,
I think that's the System of a Down guitarist, Darren. I think it would be really cool to at least get to play with him. Maybe not even collaborate, but like just hang out with the guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's been a huge inspiration for me constantly. So.
My favorite band right now is Pup, and I haven't gotten a chance to meet any of the guys, and I've seen them probably 4 times, but they always get out of their shows pretty quick and head to the next place. But I would love to sit down and talk with those guys, and just because they kind of have the same mentality of me of you don't have to be the most talented guitarist in the world, just write a catchy hook.
Yeah.
Man, Iommi or Butler.
Dude, Geezer.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking, oh man, sign me up.
Yeah.
Or Foxy Shazam, even. Yeah. I would love to play a show with Foxy Shazam.
Clutch would be so cool, though. Fuck, man. We would fit right in with them. Yeah. It would be just fine.
Have you seen them live, Foxy Shazam?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, they
I've never
another
seen
huge
great.
Inspiration for me.
That's another one of those wild live shows, man.
Yeah, dude.
They are...
That was like right. That was right when they released Gonzo. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like after they played at the Firebird before it closed down. That was that tour. And after the show, I actually like helped Eric load all their gear and got to hang out with them for a while. It was really
that's cool.
It was cool.
Yeah, I saw them on a Point Fest side stage, and it was the first time I saw Eric eat a pack of cigarettes.
he jump up on the dude's shoulders too as he did it.
I don't know about that time. I don't think so. But he goes, you know, I just thought
that
it was
dude's
funny.
Insane.
He
goes, poor Tommy.
He yells out. He goes, "I need a cigarette. Somebody give me a cigarette." And everybody just in Point Fest. Everybody just slinging cigarettes on the stage, and he just grabs a handful and smokes them, and then eats them. And I was like, that's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And I thought maybe it's just Point Fest. Maybe it's like a one, you know, nope. I saw him again and he did the exact same thing. I saw him open for friends of mine got a chance to open up for Miles Kennedy and Slash.
That's really cool.
And so they were opener and then Foxy Suzanne was the feature middle act, and then Slash came on after that, and he did the same thing that night too. And I was like, I don't know how this guy. I mean, and it's like unless he goes throws him up off stage right, right. afterward. I'm like, I don't know how he does that. But
just imagining his doctor looking through his chart. Right. So how many packs of cigarettes did you eat? It's like six Hail Marys.
Yeah.
It's great to you, but you got stomach.
It's like these cigarette butts are just like corn whenever I poop them. I need to count exactly how many I put down. my shit looks like Negan's baseball bat.
All right. Say we got the Janatrix action figures. What would you guys like to see as your accessory with your action figure?
Ooh. Oh man. Six pack of Tall Boy Bush.
Hell yeah.
That'd be about it.
Yeah.
My 70s era KC 95 hat.
Oh yeah. That's a staple.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh man. Probably like
two kinky shooters and a
Nintendo
Starry.
Switch. Yeah. Starry can.
Yeah.
I want to have something Batman going on. Batman shirt or utility belt.
You're just a normal ass dude. You're just carrying a utility belt. How do you even work that thing? I don't know. It looks cool.
You're in the DC universe in your own comic.
The boy with the Batman belt.
Yeah.
It's like the girl with the dragon tattoo. But
like I probably have like a poster that says like "Restore the Snyderverse." like a picket.
You need added accessories.
Yeah. All right.
What about you, Garrett?
What, an accessory for my action figure? Oh man. Mower. Mower. Maybe a shovel. I don't know.
good old ride behind.
Yeah, good old yeah.
Let's just I don't know. That's obviously, I think we're all kind of the similar age where we, you know, we grew up with that stuff, man. It's like, it's kind of hard to find any. I mean, there's still obviously toys and stuff, you know, but like, you know, we grew up with the action figures, the Ninja Turtles and the.
It's not the fair, stuff. Man. Yeah. All the ones nowadays are so much cooler.
Yeah.
So much more.
You ever have one of those Ninja Turtle play sets that was like the actual turtle that you like folded open? And then it had
like a Mighty Max thing, but yeah, it was Ninja Turtles?
For Ninja Turtles. Those were a thing.
No, I had those for Star Wars, though.
Okay. I didn't even know Star Wars.
I had the badass, like, mini G.I. Joe, like, command center.
All right.
It was pretty cool. It was essentially like a Barbie Malibu playhouse, but for the military.
Oh, dude. I had, okay. Well, Yeah, I had something like that too. It was the Jurassic Park compound.
Oh yeah,
I didn't have it. It was my brother's, but let's be honest, yeah. I used it just as much as he did.
Yeah. My parents one Christmas got me what we're talking about, like the Mighty Max playset, but it was like the whale from Pinocchio, and then like Geppetto and Pinocchio, the cat that you put inside, and I was like, what kid was like,
yeah,
man, the real, you know, boy what, that wants to, yeah, be a, you know
what
doll.
Toys, you know what toys I really want to play with? the characters from Pinocchio. The little donkey boy.
Oh, because he drank too much booze, yeah. And he turned himself into a jackass.
That kid was badass. Smoking the cigarettes.
I just remember him hiccuping, being like, is that what happens? Turns out it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you turn into a jackass.
Yeah, if you start hiccuping from booze, jackass phase is coming right after it.
The more you know. All right. So obviously, you know, all these shows and movie soundtracks and everything, obviously there's a lot of opportunities for placement and stuff for music. What do you guys have, like, something, is there a particular show in mind that you think Jantrix would match well with?
If they ever do any more Scott Pilgrim stuff.
Yeah.
It's where I want to be.
I'd like to see Death Sticks used like in the background of a like fight scene in Invincible, or just like Ninja Kamui.
Kamui, right?
Kamui? Yeah. I don't know how we're
I'm pretty sure
it.
It's Kamui.
I haven't heard anybody say the title yet. I've just read it.
Ninja Kamui.
You guys ever seen Law Abiding Citizen?
Yeah.
You remember whenever Gerard Butler starts punching that dude in the neck with a T-bone steak? Yep. They're playing Deftones. I think Death Sticks would fit in pretty good, yeah. right there.
we've submitted it all for the new Roadhouse movie, but fingers crossed. Yeah. Maybe Connor.
I called
McGregor
up Connor. He told me to fuck off.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Who the fuck is that guy?
You think you're something?
You think you're something? The king does whatever the fuck he wants.
It's convincing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I'm sure. Oh, man, I'll watch it for sure. I'll watch it, yeah. I don't know. Hopefully it's good.
Yeah. Hopefully Jake Gyllenhaal at least has one quick zoom in on his face where he says Roadhouse and just starts fucking kicking.
Roadhouse.
Just like this so close up.
Zoom in and just on his eyes.
He is definitely looking the part, man. The guy is cut up now, man.
I just wouldn't pit him against Connor
right
any day of the week.
Yeah. Listen, I think I would.
Yeah.
I got money on it.
Yeah. I saw that man break his leg.
What, the Connor's winning?
What? Yeah, right. What was it? Second round, that thing's dead now.
You bet against Rocky and
no spoilers.
Yeah. That's a. Dirty Work, right? With Chevy Chase is like the degenerate gambler doctor.
Oh yeah,
and he's he's bet against all the bet against movies and stuff. And, I don't know. I just thought that was really funny. Yeah. I guess one out of the last question I meant to ask a long time ago, but why Jantrix? Where does the name come from?
So I've always wondered that too. Better than Goosh Moosh and the Cute Machine.
Yeah. So we had whenever we were trying out the whole singer bit, right? Just a singer. We had a female singer, and bless her heart, she's one of the funniest people I know. But yeah, originally we were going to be called Goosh Moosh and the Cute Machines, and. No, not that one.
What about Denny and the Fun Blasters?
But so I don't know. Not too long after we were like, no, not that name. I just started looking through a dictionary online, and I was like, what's dirty but sounds hot? And landed on that word. And I was like, oh, it's a lady janitor. And then the idea in my head of like, just, you know, it's like a B-list movie where it's like a dark hallway and there's a janitor lady walking, you know, away from the camera and her mop and buckets trailing blood, but she's got a big old badonkadonk. She's hot as hell. And she just turns around. She's like, you know, that's what was in my head whenever I was like, that's the name.
Yeah. But then we spelled it wrong.
Yeah. Then we spelled it wrong because I know English.
We spelled it
wrong.
It's
my first language. I know it so well.
It should be J-A-N-I, but we got J-A-N-A. And the Beatles made adding an extra A where there wasn't before work out in their favor. So
there's
precedent for it.
What do they call that? It's what is it? Poetic justice? No, not poetic justice. That's where you're allowed to say stuff because it sounds good.
Oh yeah, I get what you're saying.
Fuck, what is that? I don't know the term. You got me, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys see there's gonna be Beatles movies out in like 4 years? 3 years?
No.
Yeah, the dude that directed American Beauty, Sam and Jarhead, Sam Mendes. He announced like 2 days ago that he's casting 4 people for the Beatles and each one of them's getting their own movie, but all 4 actors will be in every movie. So it'll be like a McCartney movie, but the other 3 actors will be in it. And then a Lennon movie and the same actors will be playing the Beatles in that movie. It's like a MCU for the Beatles. And they're all coming out in the same year. I don't know. Probably not.
You think it's poetic license.
Thank you. Poetic license. I've never heard of that term. The more you know.
Yeah.
My teacher would tell me that I had it whenever I didn't know how to spell good.
I just think of a redneck trying to pronounce our name. Yeah. Like Janny. Janny Tricks. Janny You're Tricks. Listening to Janny Tricks?
Janny Tricks.
I was just curious. I was wondering about that.
Well, I mean, if you talk to Matt F. Bosler,
yeah,
the story goes that we were at a party and our friend Janet just didn't smell that good. And so Janet Reeks was misheard and Janet Tricks was the band name.
That's where I learned everything I knew about Janet Tricks was from the Matt F. Bosler podcast.
Matt F. Bosler. What a guy. What a
yep. guy. TikTok superstar.
Somebody better call the law.
Yep. Is there like a billboard down here yet for him?
There should be.
Home of Matt F. Bosler.
we need to get a park named after him.
We need to take the...
Can we adopt a highway?
No, we just need to repaint. We got to repaint the Arnold Water Tower one more time. And it says like 15 miles south of here is home of the Matt F. Bosler.
Yeah, he's going to love this segment.
I know. We love him.
Yeah. One of the best.
He's actually the guy who makes our shirts.
Yep.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Get plugged in again with Janet Tricks on your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Also follow Matt F. Bosler on TikTok.
Yes,
definitely. If you like to see misplaced nipples, you've got to follow.
I mean, that's the only reason I'm on the app is for misplaced nipples. So. Yep. But appreciate you guys doing this. It was a whole lot of fun getting to hang out tonight. So
thank you, man. So, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, happy to help, man. It was a nice time of year to come down here to Festus, Missouri. It's beautiful this time of year. So down here. I'm definitely have to come maybe catch you at Sinkhole or any of the upcoming stops. Hopefully we'll get some dates on the calendar real soon.
Yeah, man. Always a thing in progress.
Come, keep you posted.
Come get rowdy with you guys.
Do it.
Yeah.
And thanks guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye everyone.
See ya.
See y'all. Bye.